Big doings in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I'm David Brancaccio. Market players have been anxious all week that Federal Reserve officials might use a big conference that starts today to maybe hint that interest rates might have to go surprisingly higher or stay higher longer. This is the big summit of economists, academics, and central bankers convening in the Wyoming mountains. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has this guide to decoding the messages we could get from Jackson Hole.
Fed watching is a delicate art. The Fed doesn't spell out what it's going to do. It gives you hints, subtle clues, dropping words from statements, changing the adjectives used to describe the economy. There are some key words to watch for in Fed Chair Jerome Powell's Jackson Hole speech.
Data.
Inflation.
Unemployment.
Supply chain.
Oil.
Russia. Soft landing.
Powell likes to say the Fed's next moves depend on the data. Things like the unemployment rate and inflation. Investors are expecting the Fed to slow the pace of interest rate hikes, even start cutting rates next year. Oxford economics economist Kathy Busjancic says Powell needs to give markets a reality check.
If he just continues to emphasize that they can't lose, right? He's used language like that. We can't lose in this inflation fight. If he uses that language again, that's pretty strong. And maybe that will get investors' attention.
Don't look for Powell to say exactly how much the Fed will raise interest rates at its September meeting. It depends on the data, after all. And we're going to get new unemployment and inflation numbers before then. There is one word Powell won't use.
Transitory.
In his speech last year at Jackson Hole, Powell said inflation that was just starting to develop was likely to prove temporary and...
Today, we see little evidence of wage increases that might threaten excessive inflation.
Well, that didn't go as planned. Which is why former New York Fed President Bill Dudley says Powell might face a more cynical audience this year, maybe even doubts about his commitment to the Fed's 2% inflation target.
The problem is that there's a lot of skepticism about whether the Fed really means it. In other words, if inflation comes down to 3% and the unemployment rate starts drifting up, does the Federal Reserve relent?
After all, the Fed is still insisting it can achieve a soft landing, stamping out inflation without sending the economy into a recession. Chris Campbell at the global risk consultancy Kroll will be listening for the soft landing phrase. He also says look for Powell to talk about some things that are out of the Fed's control.
Supply chains, oil and gas challenges, lack of some inputs because of the Russia-Ukraine wars.
All those things would cause, you guessed it,
uncertainty.
A word of warning, Powell won't want to make waves and spook the market. His speech could be anticlimactic, so you could just gulp a shot of caffeine every time you hear one of our keywords. Just a thought. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The 10-year interest rate starts the day down at 3.08%, and for those like us nerding out on Powell's speech later and want to keep track of mentions of inflation, unemployment, or supply chain, the team here has devised a little Fed bingo board that we just put up at marketplace.org. Could have done it as a drinking game, I suppose, but these are sobering times. Checking stock index futures, up 0.5% for the S&P, up 0.7% for the NASDAQ. Dow futures are up about 100 points, 0.3%. More now in the news, the Biden administration is canceling up to $10,000 in student debt for individual borrowers making $125K or less. That's up to $20,000 in relief for those who receive Pell Grants available to low-income students. This covers 43 million people, but future college tuition bills are expected to reach new records. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
One reason tuition at public colleges has tripled in the last 50 years is that schools are getting less money from the government. Catherine Hill's an economist with the education nonprofit Ithaca SNR and the former president of Vassar College.
They've pushed up prices because they've been getting less from the state in public support.
And that rising public school tuition sets a kind of anchor price that allows private colleges to push up their tuition even more. That's according to Betsy Mayotte, president of the Institute of Student Loan Advisors.
It sort of gives permission for the other institutions around it to raise their prices and not have to be concerned that the consumer will think that's a ridiculous amount.
Meanwhile, the funding for Pell Grants for low-income students hasn't been keeping pace. In 1975, it covered 80% of the cost of a public college degree, but now only covers a third. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. A late summer theme, big chain stores saying they're turning to big sales to get people to buy excess inventory that piled up amid pandemic distortions. Walmart, Target, Kohl's, Macy's, many more. This cuts into profits and rattles shareholders, but for consumers, the markdowns are nice. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Retailers are overstocked in a lot of categories where consumer spending has slowed down this year. Sucharita Kodali is a retail analyst at Forrester.
Things like apparel or sporting goods or, school supplies. If there's any overpurchasing, you're going to see that stuff marked down.
But even though consumers have been spending more on services lately, think restaurants and hotels, Kodali says it's not going to be hard to convince people to buy more stuff.
If, you know, prices come down enough for a certain good, there are going to absolutely be people who are going to be willing to purchase it.
That's because goods are still in high demand, even though prices have been rising, says economist Shannon Seery at Wells Fargo.
So if you look at the share of consumption that's directed towards goods, it still remains above pre-pandemic norms.
And as long as that continues, Seery says some retailers might go back to building up their inventories to make sure they have enough goods in stock. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And here's a telling range of numbers. Between 2 and 4 million people in the U.S. are not working because of what's called long COVID that lingers in some people. This is nearly 2% of the U.S. labor force and helps account for some of the difficulty companies are finding in searching for workers. The data is from the Brookings Institution, which also estimates that many more, 16 million people, have long COVID. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.